Good?
Bad.
WTF. Well, I'm
thinking.
Welcome back to episode 77 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF. Were they thinking? And have we got anything to open us up with today? Any news? No?
Not to my knowledge. No, it's been a bit quiet recently. This feels like we're in the quiet period of movies getting released. Obviously, the movie we are going to talk about beforehand, I saw some of the trailers that were, you know, when you had the long adverts and the trailers of the upcoming movies. And a lot of crap. A lot of crap they were advertising. I have to be honest. There wasn't much that I was very interested in. Two of them actually seemed like the same movie.
Yeah, I remember you saying it was, what, the Nun movie and...
There was a horror Nun movie where when she was a kid, her mother was possessed and the demon always said a line, which is what the title was called, I can't remember. And then when she's a nun, like 20 years later or so, she's having to deal with the demon again, possessing a girl who the church have taken in, but also everyone else around her might be possessed as well. And then there was a movie called Smile, which was the same thing, but like people had these really eerie grins. They are, they look like they can get under your skin, but they look probably as scary as the 2 minutes of the trailer that you see. Like, you've still got an hour and 28 minutes of crap to fill in. And the problem with horror trailers, and I think we said this before, is that you show the best bits so that when you actually see the movie, you've seen the scary bits.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think we've gone on about this before, haven't we, with trailers? Like, I think they're difficult now to get people to... Because it's harder to get people to come to the cinema more than ever, so... That's probably why they use some of their best scenes, because
they've always
just
done
to try and entice people in. But I know I'm not a big fan of watching. If for a movie that I really want to see, I won't watch a trailer because I already want to see it. There's nothing that I need to see to make me want to see it more. But if it's a movie I'm curious about, then I'll look at the trailer and be like, And if there's enough there, then I'll maybe go see it. But yeah, speaking of lack of trailers, I can't remember the trailer to the movie we're going to review today, which we may as well go straight into now. The movie Nope. I don't remember a trailer, and it was the story was very much kept under wraps in the build-up, wasn't it? There was a lot of... It was very mysterious before release. And I almost think that's the way to do it, but I think I don't think everyone has that luxury. I think because Jordan Peele has now produced two great movies back-to-back, that his third one, you can give him a bit of leeway for him to give you a mysterious movie. He's going to get the gates, isn't he? People are going to come in and watch this movie no matter what. Jordan Peele has cemented himself as that guy in film at the moment, which is great. So I'm trying to think, going into this movie, did you remember what... I couldn't even remember what this movie was about going into it, I'll be honest. I couldn't remember anything before watching it.
I knew it was about an alien invasion of some kind. It was something in the sky that was getting people, and it was hinted that it was an alien invasion. That is as much as I knew going into the movie. I think I saw one trailer. I tried to avoid them.
Yeah, I think I saw one, but I don't remember it giving me much. So I forgot most of what I saw in that trailer, but... The movie overall, there's going to be spoilers in this, by the way. So if you don't want to know what happens in the movie, then go watch the movie and then come back. I think it's a good time to review this movie because it's now with the way the world is, this movie is now available to stream. In some places, obviously, you have to pay for it. I watched this movie on the 3rd of August. I think you watched it last week.
Yeah, last Thursday, Wednesday, something
like
that.
It's fresher with you than it is for me, but I've been wanting to talk about this movie for ages, just because there was a lot to talk about. And my initial thoughts coming out of the cinema was, wow. That was my initial thoughts. So I'm glad we didn't do a review first week, because I think I would have gone above and beyond with my praise for it. But now I've let it simmer a bit longer, I can reflect on it better, in more detail. But initially, you leaving the cinema, what was the first thing you thought? Were you like, this is his... Did you think, oh, this could rival the first two? Or did you think this was firmly his third best movie?
This is what I thought. This is what I thought. So it's... I think this is a divided one in myself as much as probably I think a few people will be a bit divided. It's very... There's a lot to unravel here. To me, this is like the fork in the road for Peele for me. This is because there's two movies that I thought of while watching this movie. I don't know if you had the same feel. Signs.
Yeah, 100%.
And Jurassic Park.
I didn't have Jurassic Park. I had Signs, definitely.
I had Signs and Jurassic Park. And I tell you why Jurassic Park. There's some great scenes. For example, when the thing in the sky... We'll keep it vague for now. When the thing in the sky pours the blood down on the house.
Yeah, that was a...
That whole scene there felt like a Jurassic Park moment. And there's a lot of spectacle.
That was the most horror moment, I thought, of the whole movie. Mm. That was the bit where it was like, wow.
This isn't the horror movie. This isn't the horror movie.
No.
And this is the other reason why I say Signs and Jurassic Park, because there was another director when he first started. A lot of people said, oh, he's the new Spielberg. Mm. I'm talking about M. Night Shyamalan. And this is the fork of the road for me with Peele now. Is he going to go down the M. Night Shyamalan lane, or is he going down the Spielberg? Mm. I would say out of the three movies he's made already, this is his most theatrical... this was a spectacle movie. There was the technical aspects above and beyond. I think... Get Out and Us are the two better movies, story-wise. I think in a technical aspect, I felt that this one really did look like a director who's starting to come into his own, starting to understand the technical aspects of everything. I mean, he's also working this time around with Hoyt van Hoytema, the cinematographer who is doing a lot of Christopher Nolan's work, and he also did the latest James Bond, I believe, who's a fantastic cinematographer, and you can really feel the change in how the film looks.
Yep. He took a lot more risks in this movie, didn't he?
There's a lot more risks.
Yeah.
Story-wise, I don't know if this is one you had to keep going back to, because I felt very confused and sometimes very underwhelmed.
Right. Explain.
Underwhelmed because I kind of wanted the ending to be a lot more... I don't know, maybe it's because of Get Out and maybe it's because of Us. I think those two movies he ended quite well, and he ended them in that kind of like... Oh, right. It's sort of like he's sort of like done one more abracadabra to the audience. And this one felt a lot more cleaner. Felt a lot more like, no, the badness is gone. Everything's fine now.
Yeah, I suppose. It kind of needed that, though. It did need a big end. Mm. I think it needed a big end. I don't think it was like...
But I don't think it got a big end.
It did. I thought it did.
I don't think it got the end I wanted to.
I think it had a very huge end. It was a big scene. And I think the actual alien itself... I always think it's tough to do alien movies, because I always think, how do you make the alien look? And I did like how different this one was, but I can imagine some people being like, I'm not scared of that.
I again was underwhelmed.
Yeah, I can imagine people being like, that's not scary. It's not like weird enough. It's just a thing in the sky that's sucking things up. It doesn't fill you with any like dread as much as maybe a typical alien beast thing might. But I liked how different that was, though. I liked the way it moved through the sky, and it went up and really quick, and I liked that.
I think it was generic and bland a little bit. But I have to be honest. Can you think of the last, like, alien monster creature which has actually looked decent in a movie?
No.
I think at the moment we're in a period where we don't really... I don't know whether inspiration is... It's hard to find anything that looks completely original, so we can't.
True.
But this kind of reminds me of, like, Cloverfield. Cloverfield, again, the best bit about Cloverfield was not seeing the monster, and then when you saw the monster up close, you're a bit disappointed. I thought it's the same with this, that when you don't see the monster, it works. When you do see too much of the monster, it does... It is a bit of a letdown. And then its final form was confusing. It just looked like a giant plastic bag.
It was going crazy, wasn't it? Like the way it kind of just deteriorated as it was eating things that it shouldn't be eating, like balloons and stuff. I mean, that is a great way to kill it off, is with a giant balloon. I thought it was still, it had a lot of elements where it was quite funny. It was very Peele, where it was keeping the comedic element of kind of like real life. I think one of my favorite scenes was when Daniel Kaluuya's character OJ was in the car, and then he goes to open the door and then just goes nope, and then closes the door and then just falls asleep in the van and then wakes up the next day, because I thought that is realistic. Like, there are so many movies that are just like, right, the guy's going to now bolt and risk his fucking life and to get into house when he could wait. But this movie was just like, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep this shit real. And I like that. I do like that realism, because I think it's kind of like setting a new bar for horror movies, in the sense that, right, the audience aren't stupid anymore. The audience do want a smarter movie, do want a movie where they're like, yeah, I can actually relate to that character's decision making. I think people want that more in cinema. So I think that's it, you've got to give him a lot of credit for what he does with the genres that he goes into. He does set a new bar, and I think that's good, because once you set a new bar, other people have to follow, otherwise they're going to be left behind. So I think I give him a lot of credit there. I think he is a victim of his own success, though, in this movie, because I think people watch this movie thinking they're going to get something like Us and Get Out. And if he would have released this movie first, I still think this movie would be a massive hit. I do think that people are like, oh, it wasn't as good as Us. Oh, it wasn't as good as I Get Out. So it's his third best movie, so therefore it's his worst movie. And therefore it gets a little bit of pushback. I think this is going to age incredibly well. I think this is going to be a movie that you look back on in 10 years time and go, that movie was fucking great. I think it is going to age great.
We'll see on that behalf.
You're not as convinced.
Most ambitious. I think it was his most ambitious. Therefore, when you're more... I have nothing wrong with original movies. Obviously, we want more original movies, more ambitious movies. But when you make an ambitious movie, it doesn't always work. And for me, I think... There's a lot of good things I like in this, but I would say that this would have never been his first, because they would never let allowed him to make this movie. This is like Tenet for Christopher Nolan. You think of Tenet, you know, there's no way if that was one of the first ones out of the canon, they would have never taken it. He had to make a lot of hits to make a Tenet, and this is the same with this movie.
This is free reign. This is
his free reign. He's got a little bit more money. He's spent it wisely. I just think the story could be a little bit sharper. There are, like I said, maybe it's one of them where you have to review it, you know, see it a couple more times, and then you might pick up on it, or maybe it's one that you got to kind of convince yourself you like a little bit more.
I still think it's going to be in the top 10 of the year, if I'm being honest.
I don't think it'll be in my top 10.
You think it'll be in your top 10? You think there's going to be 9, 10 other movies better than this? This year,
I hope so.
You didn't like this movie. I mean, you like this movie, but you're disappointed.
No, I don't. I like this movie. I like this movie, but you love this movie. I don't love this movie.
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah,
I like it. I think it's an interesting. Like I said, this is the fork in the road. This is the interesting angle of, is he going down a more spectacle road, or is he going to keep on the horror road? part of me thinks he might be going down that Spielberg road.
Because this
felt the most Spielbergian. For example, the end, you know, when they're trying to take they're trying to capture a perfect photo of the monster. That felt like Jaws. That felt straight out of Jaws with the water barrels trying to keep the keep the shark afloat. It felt like, because Jaws is a horror movie, and people forget Jaws is a horror movie.
Yeah, it is,
but it's a blockbuster horror movie. It's not like a gory slasher movie. It's one that the whole family could see, and I kind of feel like Jordan Peele could gravitate towards that. I'm not saying he's going to completely abandon horror, because I think he really likes horror, but I can see him dabbling more into this.
Yeah.
The giant spectacular than like a gruesome horror movie. I don't think he's a gruesome horror kind of guy.
I don't think he is, but then you see the scene with Gordy where everything goes wrong, and that scene fully plays out.
Hmm.
That is dark as fuck, isn't it? That is a very dark scene. Hmm. It's something like Out of Us, where it's very much shit's going to happen, you're going to see it in all its glory, you know? Sometimes some bits you won't see are worse than actually seeing it, like the chimpanzee beating someone to death, and you just kind of see them off camera a little bit. You just see their legs, basically. Yeah. Stuff like that is almost as horrifying as actually seeing it.
I like that Jordan Peele in this movie, and he's done it in most of his movies, he doesn't give you the full story, and I like
that.
You know, where did the monster come from? It doesn't really matter. You know, the woman that got a tore face off, was she the young girl who worked at the sitcom? It's pretty evident she was, but it didn't have to spoon feed you that information. We could all gather that's what happened. That's who she was. We could all gather those information. Now, why is the Gordy thing there? That's the interesting question. I think the question is, this feels like this is telling a story about humans trying to control wild animals. Because you've got a chimpanzee, you've got horses, and you've got a thing up in the sky. These are wild, untamable beasts. Not only that, they are powerful beasts. A monkey can kill you, rip your face off. A horse can kick you with its back legs and kill you. And this thing up in the sky can eat you and swallow you whole. So it feels like man is trying to tame the untamable. That's why I thought at the end, they were going to tame this thing. I thought in the end they were going to tame it.
Stupid.
And it's going to be a bit like Tremors, because there was a bit of Tremors in this as well, where it becomes the attraction. This thing up in the sky is the attraction.
Yeah, it does. It does. I like all the little elements of it. That kind of Tremorsy thing where whenever it goes over something, the power goes out. Or like, you know, they had the inflatable tube men, and then when it goes over it, they flop down. And stuff like that. That's kind of like, that is very Spielberg-y, Tremors-y, like typical kind of stuff. But that was good. It made for a lot of good shots, you know, like a lot of great cinematography in this movie. I like that it was all during the daytime as well. I thought that was different. But you didn't need nighttime to be scary.
Even though they did have a lot of nighttime.
They did have a lot of nighttime scene, but the main scene, the final moment, the takedown moment was all in the daytime. And the scene where the thing sucks up the entire audience at the theme park is horrifying, isn't it? It's so claustrophobic, that scene, I think.
Yeah, again, because it's so unknown, it's because as you're going through the movie, you don't really know what's happening. It is quite unknown that when you see that scene, you're not really sure what you're seeing.
Yeah,
and
I like
so
that.
It kind of it maybe on the second view now know what it is. I find that more scary. I could never say I found that scene scary. I did confess to you at one point I did fall asleep.
Yeah,
this is
unforgivable that you fell asleep.
And I fell asleep because there's too many trailers. It was a really hot day, and I try my best to keep awake, and I had like maybe a minute or 2 minutes where I was out. But I did wake up to a scene that was earlier in the movie when he's checking out the horse stable, and then there's these alien things there. And I'll be honest with you, when I woke up and saw that scene, I was disappointed because I thought, don't tell me those are the aliens.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
I automatically checked out as soon as I saw that.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I watched it in a packed cinema, and there were people screaming at those scenes where the heads were slowly turning around a corner and stuff like that. Like, for the kids playing the prank, they did a fucking good job making it as creepy as possible, didn't they?
They did.
Because it fooled me. I did also think, oh, these are the fucking aliens. And then when they weren't, I was kind of relieved that they weren't the aliens. I thought, oh no, it is going to be typical aliens. I also felt it was almost too soon to see them. But it was.
And they looked stupid as well.
But it was
a
decent scene. It was a very decent scene. I like that scene.
Yeah.
Very good. We have to talk about some of the people in the movie as well. I think the cast is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Keke Palmer was maybe the best in it. I think she stole the show.
She had all the best lines.
And her relationship with OJ was great. The brother-sister relationship was brilliant. It kind of felt pretty authentic, didn't it? The way they were. He was very chilled, calm, and she was the crazy one. And I thought they merged together quite nicely. And then surprisingly, making kind of his breakthrough role, Brandon Pereira, who played the role of Angel Torres, the tech salesman who helped them install the thingies. Mm-hmm. I actually thought he was brilliant in this movie. And I didn't really know what to expect from his character. I thought, who is this guy? Like, I'd never seen him in anything before, so I didn't think he was going to have a big role. It was just going to be like a small, like, secondary, to have a scene and then he'd go. But I actually thought his involvement in this movie was really good. I thought he did great. Great for his breakthrough role.
I thought all the cast were pretty decent. Also,
Stephen Yeun.
Michael Wincott, who I haven't seen for a while, but I mean, the guy has just got one of the best voices for for cinema.
Yeah, he does.
Just that deep, grueling, gristly voice. Keith David in a very small role as well. It had a good cast.
Yeah, I think. Pia was very, very good at casting in his movies, isn't he? There doesn't seem someone out of place. Although, we do have to talk about Barbie Ferreira in this movie.
Right.
So, she was the co-worker of Angel. You know, she comes up behind him and eats the Cheetos. And that's our only scene. Are you familiar with her work?
I have no idea. I don't know.
So, she was in Euphoria, which was a big show. Huge show, and she's quite a huge star in that sense. In the first series, very prominent character, and then in the second series, she kind of has like her role kind of fizzles out, and now she's quit the show. She's not on Euphoria for the third season, and she was a primary character. She was an important character in the movie, in the TV show, but she fell out with the director. And she was billed on this movie quite high up. So I don't know what happened here as well, but I think the original running of this movie went up to like over 3 hours. So there has to be some cuts here. She's been cut out of two things. Euphoria, she's been cut out for falling out with the director. And here she's kind of been cut out. And she didn't promo this movie whatsoever. So there's no promo on any socials. Nothing at all. Not even a photo of her in the movie. Nothing. She was like,
I think this movie has enough characters in it that she would have been one character too many.
I think so too.
But I think
it's interesting.
I think there's a perfect amount of characters in this film. I have to be honest. There's a perfect amount of characters.
Yeah, I don't know where she would have sat in this movie, but it's kind of interesting that she's just had one scene and she was cut out. She's quite a big name. She was billed quite highly.
I like movies that do that. I like movies that have an actor in it. Have an actor in it who just sort of just doesn't have a big role and they just did it for a little bit and that's it. I like that. I like when movies do that because you look at an actor and you go, well, they're a big star. They're going to be in a lot of scenes and then they're not. They're only in one scene. It's like, bam. I think of it like Jackie Brown with Chris Tucker. Like he's in that one scene where where Samuel Jackson puts him in the boot of the car and shoots him. And he was big back then. That's 1997. It was a year before Rush Hour, but he did Friday. You know, he was big on Def Jam comedy. I mean, he was big. And he had that one tiny little scene. Or you think of Jonah Hill in Django Unchained with that one tiny little scene. Yeah, I like when that you have a little cameo.
Yeah, no, I like the little...
Even if it just feels like they've just walked in the background. Yeah, no, I think it's kind of
cool. I like the little cameo. I think this is different. This isn't like she was given a cameo. She, she actually posted the trailer and the poster on her Instagram and then deleted it later on. So I think once she found out that she'd been cut from the movie, I think she kind of disassociated herself with it a little bit. So I think there is a bit of bad blood there.
Maybe, but I mean, as a director, you have to think about pacing. And when you look at how this movie's paced, I can't imagine that Brandon character only really works when he's around the two main siblings, not sisters. So to have a scene where he's at his work talking to her, what are they going to talk about? It just feel like it's delaying things. I just think like you need to keep it rolling, keep it going. So I don't think it will work.
No, you have a point there. You have a point. It didn't, yeah, it wouldn't have worked, but it's interesting. I'd love to see the director's cut of this movie. Do you remember when they used to do that? You used to release a DVD and then the director's cut, you'd get the fucking extra hour and a half of a movie. Do they do that director's cuts anymore? They should do it for streaming.
It depends. It depends what the director... I mean, they did that with Dr. Sleep, didn't they? Had a director's cut of that. They had a director's cut of Justice League. Depends. I mean, I don't think Jordan Peele has actually had a director's cut yet.
No, he hasn't. But so all of his movies still maybe, are always very long, and then they get cut back completely.
Yeah, but he's not the only director to have ever done that. A lot of directors do that. John Hughes is famous for that. I think there's a cut somewhere of Planes, Trains and Automobiles, which is 3.5 hours long. Because there's so much to go in there. But it depends what his stance is. For example, Martin Scorsese doesn't have director's cut. Martin Scorsese says this. He says, the movie you see is the final cut. He said, no matter what went through it, this is the final cut. I can't keep going back to it. It's the final cut. This is it. This is what the movie is. You just have to accept it, move on to the next project.
Scorsese has a license to do that, doesn't he? I mean, no one else really would have been able to release The Irishman at the budget and the marketing that he did.
But even he struggled with that, though. I mean, he had to go to Netflix and get that. He struggled to make that movie.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose he did. I suppose Netflix were like, fuck it, Scorsese. Well, Netflix would have been more than happy to have a Scorsese exclusive on their platform anyway, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they wanted the Oscar. That's what Netflix were thinking.
Even though
now that I think they've flirted with the Oscars, I think they might be bored with it.
Yeah, like maybe. That. Even though that movie, in order for me to watch that movie, I had to be wiped out by the virus, COVID, in order to give myself the time to justify watching it all. But that is life. It's hard to sit down and watch a movie that's nearly 4 hours long. it's just difficult. But no, it was a great movie. I'm glad I watched it. But this movie, I don't know what was the running time. It was 2.5 hours, was it? This movie, 130 minutes.
Two and a quarter.
210. Yeah, yeah. 210. It went on for. And it felt right. I felt the pacing was good. I think it's going to a cinema watching a movie over 2 hours long is where you get fidgety. You're like, oh, I'm ready for this movie to fucking end now. But this movie, I enjoyed every minute of it. I thought it was perfectly paced. And I'm glad that some people don't like this movie, because I can like this movie and not have to deal with people who, you know, who love the sort of people that love Get Out so much. Oh, Get Out's my favorite movie of all time. You know, people that really like go all out. I just love a movie too much. So it kind of puts you off a little bit. Where you're like, oh, yeah, but it had its flaws. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever get like that when someone loves something too much? You're like, ah, it's not that fucking good.
Wolf of Wall Street. I have a problem with The Wolf of Wall Street. People seem to think that's the best movie ever made. I'm getting tired of that.
There are people that fucking, who love that fucking movie so much. It's same with like Pulp Fiction. There's people that watch Pulp Fiction and go, this is the greatest movie of all time. And you're like, it's a good movie.
Well, I think they're probably right there with Pulp Fiction, but not with Wolf of Wall Street. Pulp Fiction, definitely. I mean, you watch that movie again, you can't deny that it probably is one of the greatest movies ever made. But
it's up. It's definitely up there.
Wolf of Wall Street is good, but it's also like, yeah, but he did that with Goodfellas. You know,
he
did that with Casino. It's the same tactic.
The problem is,
but on a different.
The
movie.
Problem with Wolf of Wall Street is who it appeals to. You know, there are people that who work in the city. Who think that that's their life, and they think that I am the Wolf of Wall Street. This is my.
And it's too long.
Yeah, and it's too long. It does just appeal to that sort of weird crowd of people who are obsessed with doing cocaine and pretending that they're making loads of money on the stock market. Those sort of people, but it's still a good movie. But this movie, yeah, there's been a bit of backlash. I've spoke to a few people about it, and. There are people I speak to who either say a movie is amazing or they say a movie is shit. And there's no in between for some people. And there were some people that said this movie was shit. They're like, I weren't as good as the other one, load of shit. That's kind of like, it's not though, is it? This is a really well-made movie. And it is a well...
It's a well-made challenging
great
movie.
Great script as well. It's funny.
I don't know. I got fine. I need to see the movie a couple of times to know how good the script
is. I think the script was
like
good.
I said, I felt underwhelmed in certain parts, so I have to. I can't call it a great script because then I call it a great movie. It's not a great script. It's not a great movie. It's a good movie.
What would you rate this movie out of 10? I know we say good, bad. What would you give us out of 10?
7.
It's just a straight 7.
7, yeah.
Oh, see, I would.
Which is.
You think that's.
6 is good for me.
Yeah.
And 7 is just a little bit better than
I would
good.
Go 8. For this movie, and
so you
and
get eight.
Get Out and Us are both 9s, in my opinion. They're both very equal.
I'd say they're 8s for me.
They're not 9s.
Us might be a 9 or 8.5.
Okay.
I'd say they're 8s. I'd say they're 8s.
I've got a lot of 9s in my life, not a lot of 10s, but there is perfect movies out there. I will admit, because there has to be perfect movie, right?
Pop Fiction.
Yeah, so it's pretty nailed on, but it's pretty much a.
It'd probably be
a
10.
Yeah, IMDb has given this 7.1.
I think that's probably fair. 7.1.
Yeah.
I think it'll go for a new movie. That's actually quite low, so which shows it's been divisive.
Been divisive.
So I reckon,
but
give it a few years. I reckon that'll be a 6.7, 6.8.
But
I think that'll probably be its sort of running.
Yeah, but you can't go fully off IMDb because. Right, the other Jordan Peele movies, right? And you will be surprised.
Yeah.
Us is a 6.8.
Okay.
And Get Out is a 7.7. So it's not far off.
I'm not surprised that Get Out is a 7.7.
I am
surprised. Because that's the more popular one. No, I'm not.
Low.
That's the more popular one.
But that's low, though, isn't it?
No, but it's not that low when you think of all the negative reviews. You have to... If you go from the evens, you've got to think of like Rotten Tomatoes. So you've got... But instead of major critics, you've got to think the people that hate a movie will give it a 1 and the people that love the movie will give it a 10.
Yeah, I suppose...
So what you've got there is somewhere in the middle, which is 7.7 isn't... For a movie which isn't a fanboy movie, that's not bad. You look at the fanboy movies and they're in the high 8s and the high 9s.
True.
That's because of fanboying. I don't think Jordan Peele has that appeal.
Oh,
Because he's not a franchise... He's not an appeal. He's not an a Jordan appeal.
Nice.
He's not a franchise, and he's not a Nolan or a Tarantino, which, you know, no one's saying Jordan Peele is the greatest director of all time.
No, no. You're right.
So he hasn't got that fanboy. And so a 7.7 isn't bad. 6.8, because Us, what I love about Us is also what probably frustrates an average cinema goer is that they don't understand why there's a doppelganger.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
and so that is probably why it's a bit lower.
Yeah, they're missing the point, aren't they? Yeah, I suppose I know what you mean. This is the sort of movie, and I suppose pretty all of Jordan Peele's movies are the sort of movies that if you don't like it, you do end up hating it because you're frustrated with it. For example... Top Gun Maverick is an 8.5 on IMDb, which means, and it's probably one of those movies where it's like that. If you probably a lot of people probably like that movie or love that movie. There are probably aren't a lot of people that hate that movie, really, are there? Unless they don't like Tom Cruise.
8.5 is a fair assessment. I'd say probably throughout the years it'll probably be an 8. an 8.1, I reckon it'll be around there.
I am. Do you know what? It's a great movie. This is the thing. Everyone has said. Not one person has given me a bad review of Top Gun. But there's something about it. I look at it and I go, how can this movie be so good? I don't understand.
And that's what I thought. And literally, until you see that
you
movie,
watch it and you go, fuck.
I was floored, and I told you I'm not a big fan of Top Gun. I didn't go into having all the knowledge. I know some of what happens in it, but it's truly some of the best action scenes I've seen in a while. It's Tom Cruise has brought his Mission Impossible head to the Top Gun franchise. That's what he's done, and it is exhilarating and it is brilliant. And if that movie's not nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars, something's wrong, because that's one of the best movies of the year. Honest, I don't think I'm going to see many movies that are going to be better than Top Gun.
We'll see before the end of the year. There's still time, but we're also running out of time for the movies. This is the Christmas period. The summer movies are done. We're moving into September, October. We get a few horror movies. November, December.
We're getting the festival movies. Few more blockbusters out now. So there's a few I'd like to see, but we're going to have to hear about these ones.
This would be interesting. I mean, interesting end of the year. Avatar coming soon as well. Avatar coming soon. But Nope is one of my anticipated movies of the year. You sound like you were underwhelmed by it. I wasn't underwhelmed.
I'm on the fence. I've said many positive things.
Yeah, but you're still there's
don't
an air of
hit me with the fanboy that if I don't love it, that means wrong. Don't fanboy
but
me.
There's an air of in your voice. You're not excited to talk about this movie. You're kind of like, well, I wanted a bit better. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you order a takeaway and then you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I really am looking forward to it. And then it arrives, it's a little bit cold. You know, it's kind of a bit squashed. And, you know, kind of, it wasn't as good as I anticipated it to be. It just didn't hit the mark. That's what it feels like.
Let me just clarify something. Some of my favorite movies of all time, I was very on the fence with them when I first saw them. Eyes Wide Shut. When I first saw it, I didn't really understand it. Now I love that movie. Sideways, I was like, that's a good movie. The more I've seen it, I love that movie.
That movie gets better every time.
So, you know.
That movie's fantastic.
See, it's like a pun, fine
one. No, I've never liked that. I'm not like that with films. If I see it, first of all, I know if I'm going to like it or loathe it straight away. I've never like watch a movie and go, didn't like that, and then watch it again and go, oh, I like that now.
I didn't like it. It's just that I was underwhelmed.
That was okay. And then you watch it again and go, oh, yeah, that was really good. No, I didn't go to that.
I was underwhelmed.
I was straight away like...
Even Signs, right? I watched Signs recently. And first time, I thought like, nah. But I was on the M. Night Shyamalan now. This guy's not the greatest guy. But now I've rewatched that movie. I really like that movie.
I probably need to watch it again because I like Signs. Yeah. I like Signs, but... I think it's okay. I think it's a good movie. I don't think it's amazing. I think it's great.
I just say it's amazing. I just think like it's a well-made movie, and it's not as bad as you can get over the flaws of the movie. And the same with this one. This movie has some flaws, disappointing aspects.
Flaws.
The monster design. I didn't like the monster design.
Is that a flaw, or is that just a... Because I don't think there's...
It underwhelmed me.
Okay. I don't think that's a flaw. I mean, that's more like... You wanted something different, but you're not meant to have what you want.
I look at the same way.
This is what sort of appeal me.
As audience, meant to be right. I'll put it this way, right? This is it's the same to me as it. You know, when like Pennywise is real true form, and we see his true form, and it's a giant spider. That's so underwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's like because your head creates something so much bigger. I'd rather not have seen the monster or had it kind of blurred enough that you couldn't make it out. And in truth, we don't know exactly what this monster looks like because suddenly it dwarfs into like something else. It sort of morphs into something else. But I'd say that the ending, you know, I wanted it to be a little bit more oomph, you know, more theatrical. And I did feel a little bit underwhelmed by the ending.
I like the ending personally, but yeah, I see what you mean.
And third one, maybe the script, because all of that stuff would have been fixed. There's some bits that I felt in the sequence of how it was edited, I didn't think everything always made sense, and that sometimes the editing killed off the actual impact of the previous scene. You had a bit of that. There was a bit of that.
The only bit I didn't like was the TMZ reporter. You know, it was the only scene I didn't like.
When I saw the guy on the motorbike, I got excited because I thought, oh, we got something new here. And then when I thought it was when it was the TMZ reporter, I did get a bit like, oh, a bit underwhelmed. Now I thought it was someone from the government trying to stop them from. Sometimes that's a horrible thing about going into a movie and trying to predict how the movie's going to unfold, is that sometimes you can go a certain way and the movie doesn't go that way and you get disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. The TMZ one's just stupid. His whole personality in the movie was stupid. It was just chaos, and it was kind of unneeded. Another bit I didn't...
He seemed too strange to be a reporter. He felt like he should have been like one of the Men in Black.
Yeah,
you know, because he was a bit odd. He was a bit too odd to have just been a reporter.
But I think that scene was created for a joke, wasn't it? Because it was like there was a punchline there, and I think that was kind of all it kind of was the TMZ thing. And then one more thing I didn't like was Michael Wincott's character, Antler's host, just basically killing himself for that shot. I thought that was a bit silly.
That made sense to me.
You think that made sense?
But that was a more satirical thing, because it's all about the whole point of them getting that shot is they're trying to get the impossible shot. So what's the impossible shot?
Inside.
Is to record himself getting eaten alive. But I think that's the impossible shot. That made sense.
Yeah, but why would he do that? Why would he want to do that? Do you think he was so unhinged that he was like, fuck it, I'm gonna die for this.
He's an artist. People die for their art. I mean, come on. You look at the crazy things people do to the lengths of the perfect shot or the perfect... you think of actors, when actors go method and they're dicks to people for months and months on end because they want to have the perfect character. Like, you think about it, like, we only see, like, the outcome. We see, like, look how great Joaquin Phoenix was in Joker. But someone had to put up with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker for a long time.
Yeah.
And can you imagine working on the set and going, Jesus, man, this guy. Jared Leto was sending rats to other co-stars.
He was trying too hard.
What I'm saying is, that is like, if you're around that guy, like, Jesus, I wish this movie would fucking end. I hate this guy. But you know what I mean? It's just like the lengths that artists go to create something is annoying. We only see the final edit of it, but we're not there at the moment. And that, if we're at the moment, we'd probably hate it. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine just being a runner and just having some weirdo?
I think if you're doing one of the jobs where you're not really involved in the mad mass creative process where you're like, you know, this guy's being a dick to me, but he's a fucking fantastic actor, like he's getting the shots I need. If you're the guy running and getting coffee for someone or like telling people where they need to be, or like, then yeah, I can imagine it being annoying. Well, if you're like a script coordinator or something like that, you're like, I'm not paid enough to deal with this cunt, right? But if you're a director or a producer, you're like, ooh, it's all part of the process, man. He's gonna fucking get this shot. He's going to get me with the scene. He's giving me the scene. We're making a good movie. You know, if you're part of that, I feel like you deal with it. You'd be like, ah, it's fine. But yeah, if you're a runner or a technician or like anything like that, maybe makeup as well. Probably a bit annoying.
Or an extra.
But
he's just too hard on you.
An extra would be fine.
Yeah, but he's pulling you around. You're an extra.
I think I'd...
Yeah, but maybe you're not an actor, actually. They just pulled you off the street and said, would you like to be in a movie?
Yeah, but we'd still be pretty
cool. Oh, by the way, Joaquin Phoenix might punch you in the nose.
Yeah, but that's a good story.
Yeah, not after like the third take.
Good story, though.
He punched me three times in three takes.
I
ain't not
really hit someone, though. That's assault.
Actors go beyond. Actors go beyond. Actors have broken their noses through the passion that they do sometimes.
Yeah, we all know about.
Heath Ledger broke Jake Gyllenhaal's nose in a kiss and broke Back Mountain.
That's kind of mad, isn't it?
That's a kiss.
Man, it's trying to be a loving man.
These, and we're saying, oh, these guys, how could he sacrifice himself like that? Tom Cruise climbs rocks for fun.
Yeah.
Hangs off planes for fun, for the perfect shot.
Okay, I take back what I said about his death.
And you're saying who would do that? Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, if there was a real monster in the sky and Tom Cruise could get on the side of it and ride it, Tom Cruise would do that.
I think he'd probably do that too. I feel like that guy...
For Mission Impossible.
That guy probably feels invincible. I think he has the invincible mentality, doesn't he? He's like, if I die... Mm. I die doing something crazy, and everyone remembers that forever. Yeah, I think people like that, they don't want to bow out, underwhelmingly. They want to bow out with a bang, you know, boom. Yeah. I fell off the Burj Khalifa, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, that's a cool way to die. You know, why not? Why not? Yeah, let's rank this movie: good, bad. Oh, what the fuck?
It goes into good.
That's going to good.
I think it's a good movie. Like I said, it's not the perfect movie. It has flaws.
Would you say...
But flaws are worth discovering.
Compare this movie to Prey last week. Which one is more likely to be in your top 10? Don't tell me which one will be in... Which one is more likely to be in your top 10?
This one than Prey.
Really?
But they're not that far out of each other.
I'd agree. I think this one was a better movie overall. But I know I love this. I think it's a good movie to see in cinema. Really good movie to see in cinema. And I'd do it again. I'll go to cinema again to watch the Jordan Peele movie. I'd do it all again. But his next movie has to rival the top two, in my opinion. If his next fourth movie is his fourth best movie, you're kind of like, oh, no. He's making good movies, but... He's not reaching the heights that he was reaching.
Listen, J.D. Salinger wrote one good book, that was it. So if he only makes a couple of good movies and the rest is subpar, it's fine. I don't mind. I prefer directors that have got a very checkered filmography. I don't like directors that have got perfect filmography.
I think it's impossible. But I would say for your first three movies, not fucking bad at all. Jordan Peele, not fucking bad at all. You disagree? Why are you on it? It's a pretty good.
Huh?
That's a pretty good.
I think you're riding the Jordan Peele train.
I mean, even take out the movies that he's been involved in as from a production point of view, you would say that he hasn't had many honkers. You know, you've got Black Klansman, you've got Keanu, and you've got Candyman. Wedged in between those movies. That's not bad.
And what about The Twilight Zone?
The movie?
No, the TV show.
I wasn't counting. I meant...
I think they did. Are they still doing it? I know they made one season. Have they made any more?
I don't know. Didn't know about it, if I'm being honest. But yeah, the next thing he's involved in, he's a writer for Wendell and Wild, the stop motion thing.
I'm interested to see that one because that's from Henry Selick's directing it, and he did Coraline and The Nightmare Before Christmas, and I love both those movies. Coraline was dark as fuck,
yeah.
So I'm hoping this will be as dark as Coraline.
I think this will be pretty dark. This is actually coming out quite soon. It's coming out sooner than I thought. It's a Netflix one.
It's Netflix,
yeah, October.
It?
Yeah. October, I think it's coming out.
Perfect for Halloween.
So we'll see. To disappoint you, I haven't got a top five this week. Because I thought I wanted to spend the majority of the time talking about this movie. I didn't want to take too much away from it. Because I thought we had plenty to say. And we did have plenty to say. So we'll move on to what we're going to watch next week. Which is back over to you.
We're going to have an easy one next week.
Oh.
Because I'm off to a festival on Friday. I'm not back until Sunday.
Oh, do share? So, what festival are you going to?
I'm going to the Sundown Festival in Norwich.
Ah, who's playing at the Sundown Festival?
Sean Paul and like a load of... I don't know who's playing. I'm just going. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be camping there. I'm going to...
Camping as well?
Be drunk there. Yeah, I've got some camp stuff. Yeah, I went to... I went to go outdoors.
Lovely.
Got myself a sleeping bag and an inflatable pillow.
Are you a one-man tent or are you sharing a tent?
There's four-man
tent. It's a four-man tent. Oh, no.
Four-man tent.
I'd always edge towards getting a one-man, everyone getting a one-man tent because I get fucking hot in those tents. Four-man tent. Four of you. Body heats. All I can say is good luck.
One has said that he might get his own tent, so it might be three men.
He's the smart one of the bunch, all right? He's the smart one. The one-man tent situation is definitely the way forward, I'd say.
So I already thought what I'm going to do is I'm just going to really let out some hideous farts, and thus everyone will leave the tent, and I'll have the tent box.
Or you'll wake up in the middle of the field and be like, where is everybody? Because they would have dragged you out,
dragged you out
by your feet and thought, fuck this guy, he can wake up in the dirt.
It could get worse. You never know. I mean, the weather might be all right. It might sleep outside.
Yeah, the weather's not good.
No, that's probably not a good idea. Hang on. Going to a festival, that might not be the best thing.
Actually, I think you're actually out of luck with the weather, if I'm being honest.
Right.
It's raining from Saturday onwards for a week. So you're out of luck with the weather. Have fun.
Well, you got to do that.
Anyway, with the movie. What's the movie?
No, it looks all right. It looks all right on Friday and Saturday. There is no movie.
London. There is no movie.
It's Norwich. Next week we're going to go back to the box office box-off.
Okay.
Knock-off. Box office knock-off. I did think of that movie, but then I thought, am I going to have time to watch it, or should we just do a box office knock-off? And I'm going to go for the box office knock-off.
Your week.
And I decided we're going to go for a year that's considered one of the best years of movies. I'm talking about 1999.
Ooh. 1999.
So last time we did Don't Look, you're not allowed to look at what's in the top of the box office.
I can't even name a movie that came out in 1999, apart from Titanic, which I think actually might have been 98.
That was 97. So 99. But last time we did a top 30, we went through 30. Thought 30 was too long, so we're going to go 20 this time.
Top 20. I think that's fair. I think you get into the
top 20, and we whittle them into 10. What we think from this 20 of the top grossing movies in 1999, which 10 we think represent 1999.
Worldwide grossing or
US? I can't remember how we did it last time. We did it domestic or worldwide? We did it worldwide, I believe.
You did it worldwide, yeah. You did it worldwide.
Yeah, we'll do it worldwide again.
Good idea. Good idea. Okay, 1999, the 90s. Just the end of the 90s. I can't think of a single movie that came out in 1999. I don't know why. Yeah, that bodes well for the episode. Let's just say that.
There's
Toy Story. Is that coming out in 1999? Toy Story.
I'm not answering. Okay, you're not allowed enough to know.
That might have been a bit earlier. Yeah, Toy Story 2.
Mention them now.
Toy Story
2
might have been 99. I don't know. Anyway.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how it happens.
We'll see.
I tell you which one didn't come out. Nope. That came out this year. So that's illegible. You cannot pick Nope.
Damn.
To represent 1999.
Nope will not. Damn it. Okay. Fair enough. Nope will not represent 1999. All right. There we go. 1999. Next episode. Peter will be reporting live from his four-man tent. We'll see if he can get signal out there. Will this be after the festival? We did this episode before.
Probably Monday.
Next Monday.
Because next
Monday. So we'll be after.
Fantastic.
We'll be after,
yeah, because Friday.
We'll have all the stories.
Sunday. I'm back Sunday, so I'll partially be here Monday. I don't know how much sleep I'm going to have because, I'll be honest with you, I've never slept in the festival in the camp. I know you have. Did you?
Yeah, twice. I've done it twice. And one time I didn't get any sleep at all. But that was mainly because it was the same. It was actually a mess. It was the same day as the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight that was on at 4 a.m. And we did one night. And we didn't sleep because we went into the town centre to watch that fight. Because it was, you know, once in a lifetime. You know, what a UFC fighter fighting one of the best boxers of all time. I don't think he is one of the best boxers of all time. I just think he just fights a bunch of bums and then maintains his record. But, we watched that fight. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. I regretted staying up and watching it. Got back to the tent at 6 a.m. and then the sun was already out. Once the sun is out, there is no sleeping in a tent. So, I've done it three times. Yeah, three times. It's not the best, but it's part of the experience, isn't it?
It's part of the experience.
You got to know what you're signing up for. You're not going to get your 8 hours sleep, right? You might get three or four.
Well, we'll see.
Enough to keep you going.
Because I get very grumpy if I don't have enough sleep.
Just fuel up on Red Bulls is what I'd say.
Water. I need water and orange juice.
They won't keep you awake.
They have enough water and orange juice.
They're not going to keep you awake.
I don't mind. I'll go to sleep. I don't mind. Yeah, I could sleep in front of anything. I don't even know. I'll go back to the tent to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Telling the people on the stage to keep the noise down. Okay?
Good luck with that one. Good luck with that one. But we'll get all the stories. Let's hope you survive it, first of all. Could be the last episode. Bush,
you've got to do it by yourself. Yeah. But it's just me today because Peter didn't come back from Norwich. Yep, we don't know what happened to him.
We haven't heard from him. He's in a field in Norwich somewhere, farting to his heart's content.
He did one fart too many and he disappeared.
Well, good luck. And I'll catch you then.
Thank you.
And we'll see the audience then as well. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.